Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on Perek Chav Ches, the 28th chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. And this is really the concluding chapter of this threesome, which is focusing northwards on Tyre and Sidon, which are the two northern kingdoms, the areas of Phoenicia in the from the land of Israel. We are in the general section from Perek Chav Hei to Lamed Beis, where Yechezkel is focusing on the nations of the world and their negative responses when Yerushalayim is destroyed and is vanquished. And so this is the last one focusing on the north. So this perek is broken down into four sections. The first is going to talk about the leader of Tyre and his fall. Then the king of Tyre, we're going to see if that's a different person. And then we're going to move into a very brief prophecy about Sidon, and finally the Nechama, the resurrection, or perhaps the comfort given to Israel at the end. So let's start at the very beginning. Very poetic perek. The first section runs from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Yud and talks about the leader of Tyre of Tzor. And Hashem says, he talks to this, he is called Negid Tzor. Negid means a leader, sometimes can mean king as well. Yeah, and he says, Ya'an gova libcho, since you are so arrogant, Vatomer, and you said, Al an kelani, I am a god, Moshe Eloi Elohim Yoshavti, I'm living in the place of our God, Belev Yamim, in the hearts of the seas, Vata Adam Velokel, you're not a God. Vatita Libcha Lekalev Elohim, you pretend that you are like God. Therefore, Hashem says, Ine Chachama Tome Daniel, you more wise than Daniel. Daniel, of course, as the Barbanel points out, was a sage who was world recognized, who lived in Babylon, so he was well known and world renowned. So he's saying, are you wiser than Daniel? He says, is it going to really help you? Your arrogance and your wealth, is it going to help you in the end of the day? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because of your arrogance, Hineni mevi alecha zarim aritzei goyim, I'm going to bring against you these terrible nations with their swords, and they're going to chilalu yifosecha. They're going to desecrate your beauty, your splendor, and they're going to kill you. Vomata memosecha lel belevi. I mean, they're going to kill you a terrible death in the depths of the ocean, which is obviously referring to Tyre's empire. Are you going to then say, I'm a god, I'm powerful, to those who kill you? You're a human being. It reminds me of there's a joke about a fellow who's there's a farmer who's approached by an officer, who's a federal officer who comes and says, I've come to check your farm to see if there's any substances growing on your farm. The man says, it's all right, you can look anywhere except for the back left field. You shouldn't go there. So the man says, listen. He pulls out his wallet and he says this badge. So it says that I'm a federal agent. I have the ability to go anywhere. Anybody has to listen to me. Nobody stops me what I'm doing. The farmer says, okay, go ahead. So off he goes. He goes into the farm. He looks in all the fields. He goes to the back left field. As he's walking through the middle of the field, he notices there's a bull standing in the corner. The bull takes one look at him and starts charging him. And he's starting to run. And clearly the bull is gaining on him. He's not going to make it to the side. And the farmer leans over the side and says, your badge. Show him your badge. So Yechezkel saying, you see, hear the sarcasm. Hey, Omar, Tomar, Elokimonia, you're gonna say I'm a god? Those who are going to kill you. It doesn't make a difference what you thought about yourself. When it comes to you, you're being killed. That's the first section over here. The next section, now moving on from Pasuk Yud Aleph to Yud Tes, refers to the king. It's a kina, it's a lamentation to the Melech Tzar, to the king of Tzar. And we say, and this person's misconceptions seem a little different. You think you're so beautiful and wise. You have all the stones and diamonds and materials which you are granted. You hang around you, and then a strange sentence says, "At kruv mimshach hasochech." You're sort of like a oiled angel, in a satich, I'm going to place you by Har Kodesh Elokim Yisabesoich Avnei Eish Isalachta. I'm going to place you on the holy mountain. And you're going to walk among the fiery stones where you walked. And it's this description of the sort of how beautiful place that you're going to be going in the Har Elokim, in the mountain of Hashem. But because Gavale Libcha Yofiyotecha, because you got so arrogant with your Yofiyecha, your beauty. Your wisdom is going to destroy you of your splendor. Eretz Yishlachtich, I'm going to throw you down. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to bring a fire. It's going to consume you in front of everybody around you. What's curious about this section is it sounds almost like this is a repetition of the previous thing. The first one was a prophecy to the Negir. This is a kinna to the Melech. So are they the different people? The same people? The Dat Mikra, Kepirush on Yecheskel, says they're really the same people, poetically speaking, where the words can be used for as the description of the same person. However, the Abarbanel says no. And Negir is, in fact, we'll call it a governor, and the Melech is the king. And if you see, they're actually concerned about different things. The Negir is talking about his great wisdom, and the Melech seems to be concerned more about his splendor and his beauty. It's really to address to two different people. Malbim, going further in the direction of the Abarbanel, actually quotes a medrash, a very strange medrash, which says that if you want to actually try to identify who these people are, what's going on over here? So it turns out that the one of the first kings of Tyre that we really meet is Hiram, who had an excellent relationship with Shlomo HaMelech, and he sent gifts to the Beis HaMikdash, and he sent, you know, all kinds of materials necessary to make the Beis HaMikdash. So ultimately, there's a Medrash who says that Hiram, who was Shlomo HaMelech's colleague and friend, lived for a very long time until he was killed by Nebuchadnezzar. So this is actually referring to Hiram, who lasted all this time. Another Medrash actually says that Hiram entered live into Gan Eden, so he didn't really even die, he was such a special person. And the Malbim argues that it's extracted from these psukim about being talked about, being brought onto the mountain of Hashem, this Hiram, this king is referring to Hiram. And in fact, the Medrash goes on further to say that in his absence, what happened was that they didn't want to replace him because he was such a powerful king. That what they did is they inscribed his face, they carved his face above his throne, and they had all these canopies and jewels and all these beautiful things as described in Apsukim. And instead they had an Agir, they had a governor who sort of took his place, but the governor wasn't nearly as good as Hiram, which is why there's a description of two separate people over here. Very fascinating description, real worth looking at the Malbim and Pasuk Yod Beis to see the greater details of this. In that regard, what is it talking about when it talks about the I took you on the Har HaKodesh and brought you to the mountain of Hashem among the angels? What does that really mean about this person? So it could mean, like the Malbim is saying, is that it's referring to the fact that Hiram himself went up to heaven. He went ascended to Shul Shamayim. However, the Mitzvah says no. On a more basic level, we're talking about a later king. We talk about somebody who was the king at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And at the same time, what's being said over here is, since Hiram, before you contributed to the basic building of the Beis HaMikdash, it's as if you have a chelek, it's as if you have a piece of the Beis HaMikdash in it. And the Radak says it might be even rhetorical, saying, do you really think you're like an angel? Do you really think that was the king of old? Hiram did that, but not you. I mean, you're not living up to your legacy as the king of Tyre. And that's what's being said over here, which is more of a criticism of him. Moving on to the last two sections briefly, where we're looking at Poem Psukim Chof to Chof Dalad. This is a prophecy about Sidon, and here HaKadosh Baruch Hu just says, very simply, this is a city 140 kilometers north on the border of Lebanon. It is a seaport, again, it was part of the Phoenician Empire. And now he says, you should say, because in Nihalechot Sidon Nichbadati B'Soichech, I'm going to be honored through you. How? Because I'm going to do judgments and actions against you, and I'm going to be sanctified through you. What am I going to do? I'm going to send dever, dam, b'chutoseh, blood, pestilence, v'niflal, chalal b'soichal. There's going to be the falling of many corpses in you. B'cherev oleh misaviv. There's going to be the armies coming against you. Then v'yadu kinei Hashem. Then you're going to be real. No, I am Hashem. V'lo yiyeh od leveis Yisrael silun mamir v'kotz machiv mikol sivosam b'shvatim osar. And then there's no longer going to be. You're not going to be this scratching briar or this painful thorn in the side of Israel anymore. So it sounds like that Sidon as well had been a problem to Israel. The Radak says maybe they were part of the bespoiling adversaries, meaning to say when Israel was attacked by another nation, they would join in, they would jump on the bandwagon to try to be able to get the spoils from them. Maybe that's what's going on over here. Whereas Rashi says no. This section over here is the closing of the last four prokim, where Yechezkel looked outwards and he looked towards Ammon, Moab, Edom, Plishtim, and now Tzor and Sidon. When he looked at all their immediate neighbors and talked about the negativity they did, now at the end of this he says, when all of you are going to have judgment meted out against you, then there will no longer be thorns in the side of Israel. And this Rashi is actually very helpful for the next section, which is the conclusion, the last two psukim, which is Chofei to Chofav, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Israel and says, Bekabtzi, and there's going to come a time, Bekabtzi es beis Yisrael, ben ha'amim, asher nafotzuvom, I'm going to bring back Israel from the nations I spread them amongst, v'nikdashti bom le'inei ha'goyim. I'm going to be sanctified through them in the eyes of the nations, and they will stay on their land in security, and they're going to build their houses, they're going to plant their vineyards, when I take actions against all of those the nations in their midst. When is this going to happen? So the Malbim says this is being introduced over here to counteract the claim that while Israel's been sent to Golus, they've been rejected, which we saw was one of the arguments of one of the nations in Perek Chofei. And so therefore, at this point in time, the Malbim is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reaffirming that there's going to come a time when Persia is going to let Israel reestablish their government and return to the land of Israel. The Barbadel points out that this is not limited to merely the time when of the second Commonwealth, or the second Beis HaMikdash, but it's referring to the future Geula as well, that there will come a time where there is going to be Geula. The Chomas Anach, the Chida, points out, Kabbalistically speaking, you'll notice something interesting in this Pasuk, that when Israel returns, it will be Le'enei HaGoyim, to the eyes of the nations. He points out that the Le'enei, the eyes, is actually a code word for the Nitzotzos HaKadusha. That means to say that in Golos, as much as Golos is a punishment, it is also a crucible. It is something through which we need to go to extract certain ideas that need to be brought back to the nation of Israel throughout all the centuries and all the different destinations. And those are called Einayim. Those are the eyes or the perspectives that we gain from Golos, even though there's a great cost of Golos. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm bringing you back to the land of Israel, I'm going to pull you back with all the ideas and all the good things you could extract with the dangerous extraction process from the klipos, from the terrible and impure parts of the nations. You're going to still pull out the Einayim, you're going to pull out some of those aspects when you come back and bring the Geula, which should be Bimharigamein. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.